It's the Confluence. I'm Kevin Gavin. That sound from a vigil held last night at Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hall in Oakland to honor the victims of a deadly shooting of Tree of Life Synagogue. It's now been 2 days since the shooting, and Pittsburgh continues to grapple with the anti-Semitic violence that erupted in Squirrel Hill. 90.5 WESA's Larkin Page Jacobs reports neighbors, officials, and the community are trying to make sense of what happened.
The synagogue, with its stark gray edifice and tall trellised windows, sits at the busy corner of Sheedy and Wilkins Avenues. It's surrounded by tidy houses, a school for kids with special needs, and is a short walk from popular restaurants, bakeries, and shops. John Charney and Annie Menzel live in the neighborhood and were out walking their dog Sunday. They say their usual route takes them right past Tree of Life.
Just appalling to know that, you know, two blocks away from our home, this occurs.
Robert Bowers entered the synagogue just before 10 a.m. Saturday and fired on congregants. The 46-year-old from Baldwin voiced his hatred to police who arrived on the scene, saying he just wanted to kill Jews, according to an affidavit. A social media profile believed to belong to Bowers also espoused anti-Semitic views, and one of his final posts says, quote, "Screw your optics, I'm going in." At a Sunday news conference, U.S. Attorney Scott Brady said Bowers' attack was particularly sinister because it took place in a synagogue.
A place of worship is a sacred place. It's a place of peace and a place of grace. It's a place where a community comes together to celebrate that they hold most dear and most sacred. And this, of course, is our first freedom as a people.
The Department of Justice has filed 29 counts against Bowers, including 11 counts of obstructing the exercise of religious beliefs resulting in death. The Allegheny County District Attorney's Office has also filed an additional 30 charges, including one count of homicide for each victim and one count of aggravated assault for six people wounded and 13 charges of ethnic intimidation. Four officers were among those wounded. At the news conference, Pittsburgh Police Chief Scott Schubert said officers ran toward the danger.
Some of that's training, some of that's experience, but it's their inner core that wants them to help others, that wants to save lives.
Mayor Bill Peduto also praised first responders and had a message for victims and their families.
We're here as a community of one for you. We will be here to help you through this horrific episode. We'll get through this darkest day of Pittsburgh's history by working together.
The community pulled in close this weekend. Becky Billick of Squirrel Hill and her husband joined a vigil Saturday night. Billick talked about trying to process the violence with their 11 and 13-year-old daughters. She says earlier in the day, her daughter had painted her face to look like a cat ahead of Halloween.
You know, with the whiskers and whatever. And right when this happened, she said, "I want to get this off my face right now because it feels so dumb to have this on my face when this is happening."
Billick says she understood that feeling.
You know, I said part of what these people who come in and do these things are trying to scare people out of living their lives. So if we don't keep on living, then we let them win again.
She says they can't just stop doing the things that make life meaningful. At an interfaith gathering Sunday night, a crowd overflowed from the stately auditorium of the Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hall in Oakland. The list of speakers included three of Tree of Life's rabbis. One of them is Jonathan Perlman, who struck a defiant tone.
This will not break us. It will not ruin us. We will continue to thrive and sing and worship and learn together and continue our historic legacy in this city with the friendliest people that we know.
I'm Larkin Page Jacobs, 90.5 WESA News.
WESA's Amy Sisk, Liz Reed, Lucy Perkins, and Chris Potter contributed to that story. Joining us in studio right now are two of WESA's reporters who have been covering the events since Saturday morning, WESA's Virginia Alvino-Young and Sarah Schneider. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Sarah, I think I want to start with you. I believe you were the first WESA reporter on the scene. Let's reflect briefly on, you know, what you found when you got there.
Right. So I arrived to the scene just before 11. I was on Wilkins, about a block away from Tree of Life Synagogue. And when I arrived, you know, the media, we were kind of huddled across the street from the synagogue. And that, you know, looking back now, we know that that is about the time when a SWAT police officer was injured. He was shot by the alleged gunman. And so at that point, the police were just trying to keep us safe distance, and they kept pushing us back. And so as we kept moving back, we were running into community members who were out looking, trying to figure out what was going on. A lot of people didn't know. A lot of people were saying they knew people in the building. It was just a lot of confusion at
right.
the time.
Now, was this when you first arrived before they started moving the media back, and what happened with you?
Yeah, so when I arrived, I could see the SWAT officers going back and forth from the synagogue to the other side of Wilkins because they were trying to get a view. We can put together now. They were trying to get a view of the gunman. He was trying to hide inside of the synagogue. And so officers, you know, the police that were on the scene were ducking behind cars pretty quickly. And at that point, you know, a lot of the media just turned around and we ran because it was still an active shooter situation.
Right. Virginia, let's bring you into the conversation now. What was your role? Were you talking to people? What was your assignment? Your experience?
Monitored on Saturday. I actually was first notified when my husband, who attends the University of Pittsburgh, got a notification that students got on their phone. So that was before I had even seen any headlines or word of this, right? So people were being notified throughout the city. So monitored events on Saturday. Sunday morning, attended a press conference with elected officials, law enforcement officials, to go over the latest with the suspect as well as the victims.
Okay. This is an experience nobody wants to cover, but your reporters, you have to. What are your reflections over the last couple of days of what has transpired?
My biggest takeaway is just seeing the community come together. That's always what happens in these tragic situations. There are so many people who you could tell this was a very close community and a lot of people knew each other. I kept running into people who were asking if I had heard anything. And that was pretty troubling because I had nothing to tell them and we were just waiting and getting updates. So it was a lot of confusion for a long time, but also a lot of sympathy and compassionate people.
Just last week, I was giving a talk about sort of the divisive language of rhetoric and people asking me, you know, how far have we gone? Is it too far to go back? And then something like this happens that proves the point that there's so much more that unites us than divides us. It's been truly stunning, especially, and I'm sure you'll talk more about the vigil that was last night. When they say multi-faith vigil, they were serious. It was the entire community. It really was. People saying, hey, our group has been through this in the not so recent past, and we're repaying the favor now through solidarity with you now.
Mm-hmm. What were you impressed with? The strength, the resilience, the compassion? What was it?
I was very impressed with the young people who organized the vigil on Saturday night. A lot of these students I knew personally just through my other reporting. These were students at Alderdice High School who put together the March for Our Lives locally, and they led student walkouts after, you know, students and faculty staff were killed in a Parkland High School in Florida. And so these were the same students that just said, we're not going to let this define our community. That was what I was really taken aback by, and it was really encouraging to see that, and that's what I'm sitting with today.
That was one of a couple of vigils Saturday evening, mm-hmm. and they organized that, I believe, with one of the congregations.
Right, and that was Saturday night in Squirrel Hill on Murray, and there were just hundreds. It's hard to tell how many people were there, but definitely thousands.
I want to ask you, too, before we run out of time, you know, what will you be covering now? What will you be looking for as this story continues, this community continues to grieve, but tries to, you know, respond?
There's a lot still to come. Of course, things are still unfolding with the gunman. We're still going to see, you know, how things are going to play out. Law enforcement's investigation is still underway, right? The scene is still actively being investigated. There's so many more details that we don't know what's coming down the pike yet. But going forward, looking at the community, there's so much to tease apart. And something that's become so apparent in vigils and on social media is that this isn't just the tight-knit Pittsburgh Jewish community. This is Pittsburgh, and everybody mm-hmm. knows somebody impacted or at least is familiar with the neighborhood or is related in some way. And so the trickle-down effect, the ripples that we're going to see throughout the community are going to be indefinite. And so there will be no shortage of stories and voices and impact that we'll be looking for in the future.
Yeah, and I cover education, so I spent a lot of the weekend thinking about the teachers and educators who have been preparing and trying to figure out how they're going to talk to kids about this. It's incredibly traumatic, not just for the Squirrel Hill community, but for students who now are scared in their classrooms. So I'll be talking to educators about that task.
All right, reporter Sarah Schneider and Virginia Alvino Young, thank you so much. We're joined now by phone by Rabbi James Gibson. He leads, Jamie Gibson, he leads the Reform Synagogue at Temple Sinai, which is about a mile from the Tree of Life Synagogue. Rabbi Gibson, thank you so much for taking time during this very difficult moment.
Thank you for having me.
Rabbi, you were at the vigil last night, thousands of people. Let me get your reflections on what you experienced last evening at the vigil.
I think one of the things I experienced was an incredible sense of being lifted up on the spirits and support of people across the entire Pittsburgh region, not just the Jewish community, of course, but the Muslim community, the Christian community, the Hindu and Sikh communities, the African-American community, all wanted to be there to share the burden of this pain and to witness. I think, that was very important. People told me over and over again there was no place that they would rather be, that they were drawn to that place and couldn't imagine being anywhere else.
What is this last, 48 hours been like for you? What have you been telling members of your own congregation? How have you been trying to comfort them while still, in a sense, trying to comfort yourself?
Well, as most people know, what we do in the face of crisis is to seek to tend to the needs of others, and afterwards, when people are okay, we'll tend to our own needs. Most people need some sense that they are safe when they come to the synagogue, whatever synagogue it is, and they need to know that this terrible, irrational act of hate, that's the extraordinary event, that the love and support, that's normative. That's the way we live. And if we can understand that we can survive the hatred and the violence because of the love that we generate, not just in the moment of crisis, but all the meetings, all the dialogues, all the community efforts we have undertaken for years and years before have led to this kind of uplift and support. I've been doing this work in Pittsburgh for more than 30 years, and I can tell you that what I have tried to put into other groups and congregations and help address their fears and their crises is coming back with interest for the Jewish community right now.
What are you hearing from your brothers and sisters of other faiths as they reach out to you?
They're stunned. Listen, the only strange element for some is people thought in the back of their minds that anti-Semitism was a thing of the past, that irrational Jew hatred was dead post-Holocaust, that it did not seem to be part of people's thinking anymore. But Charlottesville was a rude reminder a year ago, and now this is etched in our hearts and our brains in horror that anti-Semitism is still alive. It's being fomented on social media by far-right fringe conspiracy mongers, and that there are deadly consequences to this kind of rhetoric.
What can you, although the victims were members of other congregations, what can you tell us about who these victims were, who they are, and what their loss means to the greater community?
Well, I ran into almost all of them because all of our paths in the Jewish community cross at one time or another, many times in the year or on the street. The Rosenthal brothers were marvelous souls. I saw them many times. Dr. Jerry Rabinowitz is a hero who died trying to save others. One of the men fighting for his life is a chaplain, Dan Legger, who's truly beloved throughout the Jewish community for the comfort and care he gives to people in their times of crisis. And I guess one of the messages we tell our people over and over again is you are not alone. Terrible things do happen in this world, and sometimes we cannot prevent them. No number of armed guards will prevent the thoroughly irrational, hating person from committing an act of violence. But we can be there to hold each other and to let each other that we're not alone in this fight and struggle and that we will win in the end. Even the Holocaust was only 12 years, as horrible and terrible as it was. We can defeat this, if not forever, then in the main.
How do you retain, how do you maintain such levels of hope, of optimism even? What do you want Pittsburgh to know about your experience and the experience of the Jewish community in the coming days?
Listen, at the moment that the attack was going on, I was naming a baby at our Shabbat morning service, and I held that baby in my arms even though I knew that there was an active shooter scenario unfolding, and I blessed that baby with smiles and tears. Her name is Yisraela, the female form of Yisrael, the name of our people. And I blessed her with the hope that she know peace, that she know calm, that she know love, even though she will obviously face crises and challenges in her own lifetime. And the hope, the renewed hope of blessing somebody who was born, a beautiful baby, makes it possible not to be wholly subsumed in the tragedy and the horror of it all.
So life goes on, faith goes on, with perfect example of Yisraela?
Right. And not just that it goes on, that life is renewed. Faith is rekindled. Community, suffering a gaping wound in its heart, heals and is in some sense reborn.
Rabbi Jamie Gibson leads the Reform Synagogue at Temple Sinai, which is nearby the Tree of Life Synagogue. Rabbi Gibson, our condolences again, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're going to break, and we'll be back with more on this tragic story and how it continues to impact Pittsburgh. You're listening to The Confluence. You're listening to The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. 11 people were gunned down in their synagogue on Saturday, and we're reflecting on that and what is still ahead. I'm joined by reporters Virginia Alvino Young and Sarah Schneider who have been covering the events throughout the weekend. Joyce Feenberg of Oakland, Richard Gottfried, 65 of Ross Township, Rose Malinger, 97 of Squirrel Hill, Jerry Rabinowitz, 66 years old from Edgewood Borough, Cecil Rosenthal, 59 years old, and his brother David, 54 years old, both from Squirrel Hill, Bernice Simon and her 86-year-old husband, Sylvan Simon of Wilkinsburg, Daniel Stein, 71 years old from Squirrel Hill, Melvin Wax, 88 years old from Squirrel Hill, Irving Younger, 69 years old from Mount Washington, were the victims of this tragic act. Virginia, I wanted to get to you about what you're covering, but also your reaction. I know you were listening intently to what the rabbi had to say, what Rabbi Gibson had to say.
I think based on hearing from my colleagues who unfortunately across the country have covered similar events in their own communities, that you get thrown in the thick of things for a few days and then the dust starts to settle and things sink in.
Mm-hmm. So the stories what do you still want to know about this? That's what I want to know. What do you still want to pursue? What do you want to know? Who do you want to talk to, maybe given a certain amount of time to, I don't want to say calm things down, but give them the time to reflect?
Yeah, space is important, time is important from people who perhaps were impacted the most by this. You know, obviously, I'm of the belief that it's inappropriate to attempt to hear their voices at this very moment. So I'm looking forward to hearing more from them so that we don't forget, so that the community doesn't forget exactly what impact this has and what lasting impact this has. This isn't a story that's going to have just a few news cycles, because the folks who are closest to it are going to be living with it for the rest of their lives. So I look forward to not forgetting and to seeing what sort of blossoms in the community from something like this, which of course brings people together. That's what we see over and over again.
All right. I'd like to bring in another voice from the community, Rich Fitzgerald, Allegheny County Executive. Mr. Fitzgerald, thank you so much for joining us today.
Good to be with you. And yeah, this is it's a sad day, and it's a sad couple of days, not just for the Squirrel Hill community, but Pittsburgh at large and the nation. It's hard to fathom, you know, for someone like me, actually, who represents not only the whole county, but this literally is in my neighborhood,
right,
you know, a block from my house.
You have a role as an elected official, but in this tragic event, is your role as a neighbor, you said it's just a block from your house, is your role as a neighbor and friend just as, maybe even more important?
Well, it certainly personalizes it. It's, you know, I knew when that list came out. You know, as Saturday wore on, and we knew there were a number of victims, and then we heard the number was 11. None of the names were released, but you start to suspect, and you start to hear, you know, so and so can't get a hold of a family member. And you know, when that list came out, my wife and I knew we were going to know a number of those individuals. They're part of our community. So, you know, yeah, you have a job to do, but obviously when the closer it hits to home, and you know the families and you know the people personally, it affects you in different ways.
I understand your wife Kathy was walking near Tree of Life when she heard gunshots.
Yes, and normally, you know, on a Saturday, a lot of times we'll be walking together. We like to walk through the neighborhood, and on this particular day, there were a number of events that I was scheduled to be out around the county, so I couldn't accompany her. And she was walking up Wilkins Avenue like she normally does, and heard the pop, 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 as she described it, of the gunfire, and then witnessed the police officers as they were crouched behind their vehicles, you know, in an exchange of fire. So she was literally right there, and came running back into the house. So that's actually how I was notified. I wasn't notified through the 911 center or through anything else, but my own wife witnessing it, and because it literally is around the corner from our street, from our house.
Yep. You're Irish Catholic, but you certainly are no stranger to the Tree of Life Synagogue, are you?
No, not at all. In fact, you know, raising our eight children in Squirrel Hill, we've been at the Tree of Life many times for bar and bat mitzvahs, weddings, funerals, community celebrations. It's a community hub, really, in many ways, Tree of Life Synagogue. And you know, the one great thing about Squirrel Hill, and it's been a great thing when we moved in many years ago, was it's a welcoming place for all faiths: the Jewish community, the Baptist community, Episcopalians, Catholics, Muslims, Hindus, Sikhs, atheists, everybody. I mean, we work together, we play together, we pray together, we celebrate together. It's a community where people do come together, and we all know each other. And it's a kind of a special place. It's you know, one of those neighborhoods, one of those communities that, you know, people may, you know, almost fictionalize, like, you know, like Mayberry was years ago when you watched TV, and it almost has that feeling where you walk up the street to the business district to get an ice cream cone or get a cup of coffee, and you see your neighbors, and you have a discussion, and it's a great community.
Mm-hmm. Once the incident was over, and the mourning and the reflecting began, and the vigils were held, did those memories, your reflections on why you chose Squirrel Hill to live in 35 years ago, and also the outpouring sympathy, did that sort of reinforce your feelings for the neighborhood?
Very much so. And, you know, as I, you know, walked literally out my door where the media was all camped out for, you know, setting up their tents, and, you know, this obviously is not just a national but an international story. We're right there, and I'd see my neighbors as yesterday for walking up and down the sidewalk, and just in shock, really, a numbness has set over that this can't really be happening in this community. And I think you will see in the coming days the support for the community, for the families. Last night being at the Soldiers and Sailors vigil, and the vigil the night before on the corner of Forbes and Murray, you just saw people hugging each other, crying, reaching out, wanting to comfort each other. Last night the Muslim community, immediately raised, I think, that $70,000 they raised in a short period of time, reaching out to the families and support. So I think what you find is, and you heard the mayor say this last night and myself, love will trump the hate. It will overcome it. Yes, this was an evil, horrible act of carnage on innocent victims and innocent people who were there to worship. This community will not be pushed back. Hate will not overcome us. We will come together. We will be strong. And the Tree of Life Synagogue is a strong, strong community. And I am sure they will be very forthright in moving forward to reach out and support their community.
Rich Fitzgerald is the Allegheny County Chief Executive and a proud resident of Squirrel Hill. Mr. Fitzgerald, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you're listening to The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. You're listening to The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. Pittsburgh has a tight-knit Jewish community, and Tree of Life Synagogue is an essential part of that community. It hosts three congregations as well as non-religious community gatherings. Marcia Yoram Kramer is president of the Squirrel Hill chapter of the AARP, which holds its meeting at Tree of Life. As Kramer told 90.5 WESA's Liz Reed, she knew 5 of the 11 people who were killed in Saturday's attack.
The two brothers, Cecil and David Rosenthal, are sons of my very good friends. The parents and I have been friends since we were teenagers. Our children went to school together, and we were very close friends. I know when both boys were born. I know the whole family. I just spoke to Mrs. Rosenthal a couple of days ago, and it's just unbelievable. I watched these two young men who had different issues as being challenged, and just wonderful, well-liked at Tree of Life. People knew Cecil and David, and they were just so good. Just so good people, always with a smile and caring. And I'm going to certainly miss all of them. Cecil and David have a special place in my heart.
What was going through your mind yesterday when you heard about the shooting, but you hadn't heard the names yet?
To be honest with you, I woke up in the morning, someone called me, and she said, "Do you have the news on?" And I said, "No, I was actually put on the news," and I put it on, and I just started yelling. I was just beside myself that something so horrific could happen there. And the first ones that I thought of was Cecil and David, because I knew they went every Saturday morning for services. And I thought, oh, I just pray maybe they didn't go this Saturday. Maybe they didn't go, but I had such a sinking feeling.
This is being investigated as a hate crime by the Department of Justice. When you see these acts of anti-Semitism in 2018, what do you think?
Anti-Semitism has always been around. It probably will be always here. It scares me. Is this what my children, who are grown, but are their children now, who are adults, and what their children are going to face? It's something that I just have such terrible feelings about it, because I think about my ancestors. I think about my parents who came over from Russia and tried so hard to get over to the United States to live a better life and you know, to have all the opportunities that they could have here. And when you have something like this happen, this person who obviously is sick, deranged, anti-Semitic, I don't have words for him.
What's next for the Jewish community in Pittsburgh? How do you guys move forward?
You know, there's a saying that I always have said to my kids in things as I've gotten older, especially my grandchildren. And they would say, well, you need help with this, Mimi, or this, or whatever. And they're right there for me. And I say, you know, we come from strong stock. Just meaning that we're strong. And the Jewish community is strong. And people will help one another to heal. Some things never go away. Some people that we lose, you never forget anybody that you lose. And I think that what we have to live with is to be kind to one another, to help one another, to love one another. This is what's going to help us to heal.
That was WESA's Liz Ree talking to Marcia Yoram Kramer, a friend of five of the victims, and she's a lifelong Pittsburgh resident. Joining us now by phone is State Representative Dan Frankel, who has represented that neighborhood and others in the Pennsylvania House for nearly 20 years. Dan, first of all, our deepest condolences to you and the community.
Thank you, Kevin.
Dan, tell us, what role has Tree of Life played in your life?
Well, Tree of Life is a synagogue that I didn't attend and didn't belong to. Was a place where I did go to Hebrew school when I was 11 years old to train for my bar mitzvah, because at that time my synagogue did not have bar mitzvahs. Today they do at Rode of Sholem. But independent of that, I've spent many times on a Saturday morning at services at Tree of Life, at a friend, family member's bar mitzvah, been at weddings. So I've spent many, many times there. I've spoken at some of their brotherhood brunches over the years. So it's a synagogue that I'm familiar with and literally is five blocks from my home.
What sort of reaction, response, have you been receiving from around the Pittsburgh area and elsewhere?
You know, I think as many of us, our phones have blown up with texts and emails from friends and family. I've heard from my colleagues across the state, both Republicans and Democrats in the House and the Senate, expressing their concern, their condolences, and wishes for our community to heal. It's very reassuring, particularly as you look as well around the state at the vigils that are taking place in different communities. I've had colleagues of mine send photographs of their communities' vigils, and I think it's really unfortunate that an event like this, you know, is something as a vehicle to bring people together. But again, it's also reassuring that people, the diverse community and fabric of Pennsylvania, recognizes that this is a time to support Pittsburgh, to support Squirrel Hill and our community, and to speak out against violence and hatred.
Dan, we're too well aware that this kind of violence and hatred has manifested itself in too many places across our country. But was there a sense of false security, or maybe just plain hope, that it wouldn't happen here?
Well, you know, I know our community tried to prepare as best as possible. The United Jewish Federation has a security arm that tries to deal with many institutions. I mean, we have dozens of synagogues. We have, you know, agencies that deal with, like Jewish Family Children's Service, the Jewish Association of Aging, other agencies and community resources that serve the Jewish community and the broader community, and it's always been a concern, I think, for us that we make sure that we secure them, particularly in this day and age, because we've seen an extraordinary uptick in the number of anti-Semitic acts, a 57% increase in the number of anti-Semitic acts across this country in 1 year. While we are optimistic and and feel pretty secure, I think we have tried to be prepared as possible, and I think we're going to have to redouble our efforts to prepare the community and our institutions and strengthen them in order to be able to be prepared for anything like this that might happen again.
Dan, final quick question. For years, you've been a leader in the Pennsylvania House pushing for stronger protections for all. Do you think the tone in Harrisburg is ready for any changes?
I think there is a sense that maybe there's something brewing, with respect to a number of things. I've been working on civil rights legislation so that we don't discriminate against a community of the LGBT folks in our state. And that's important because what happened here today is we had a specific community, a specific group of people that were targeted. That's really disturbing. And we saw LGBT people targeted in Florida. So when these acts of hate that target specific groups take place, we need to be able to address it at the state level. So having an anti-discrimination law that is comprehensive and covers everybody, having a hate crimes bill law that we do not have in Pennsylvania. There's a federal one, but we are one of the few states that does not have a hate crimes bill. And then looking to have reasonable controls over the ownership of firearms, because when you blend the level of hatred that we see with access, easy access to high-powered weapons that were used to massacre my constituents at Tree of Life on Saturday, we've got to address these things. So it's a comprehensive thing, and it's also about the dialogue, the political dialogue that we see has created has broken the veneer that kind of kept everybody, patted down. But now everybody feels kind of enabled. Those who hate feel enabled to be able to speak out loud about their hatred and their bigotry. And that, when you enable that with people who are prepared to do violence and have access to these weapons, is really a recipe for disaster. And we saw it play out here in Squirrel Hill. I think that we have an obligation as elected leaders to work to change the level of discourse they have to make it more civil, and we should be able to pass legislation that will help our communities be safer.
State Representative Dan Frankel, past chairman of the Pennsylvania Jewish Coalition. He represents the Squirrel Hill community in the Pennsylvania House. Dan, thank you, and again, our sympathies.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
We'll come back on The Confluence with reporters Lucy Perkins and Katie Meyer and a representative of the Southern Poverty Law Center talking about hate crimes. It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. We're talking about the aftermath of Saturday's horrific events in Squirrel Hill at the Tree of Life Synagogue. And joining us now are WESA reporter Lucy Perkins and WESA's Capitol Bureau Chief. Normally she's in Harrisburg, Katie Meyer. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Katie, I want to start with you to follow up on something that Representative Frankel mentioned at the end of our conversation, because that is your beat. You cover what happens in Harrisburg, the legislature and the executive branch. I know you haven't been in the session. Legislators are in recess right now for election. But is this the kind of event that might get them to move? Might the tone be one that might get some sort of action?
That's a good question. It's a question that we ask after any violent sort of disaster like this. But I'll go back to the gosh, it was that Las Vegas shooting in which the shooter used a bump stock. Right. Lots of states, including Pennsylvania, launched legislation to ban bump stocks after that. In Pennsylvania, this was not a controversial proposal, and yet it still didn't happen. The bill, you know, there was some acrimony over certain provisions, over maybe, you know, making carve-outs or not. And anyway, it, you know, didn't happen.
It wasn't a clean bill that would just say bump stocks, no.
I mean, these things all get kind of tangled up with other issues, and certain people can't quite agree to them, and then coalitions can't form. And so anyway, that bill didn't pass. And I think that was something where there was enough consensus that we thought maybe it would. The only significant gun-related bill that we've seen pass in Harrisburg is one that increased protections for domestic violence victims. And truly the only reason that happened is because it was sort of presented as a domestic violence bill, not a gun bill. And so then that didn't pass. And then you get into the other area of this that Representative Frankel was talking about, hate crimes. He mentioned, you know, under Pennsylvania law, there are a number of protections, you know, under hate crime rules. So race, color, religion, national origin. People can file complaints about discrimination based on sexual orientation, but that's not protected under the hate crime law in this state. So, you know, you can't, for instance, like ratchet up penalties for crimes against people based on their sexual orientation. So that's just an example of something that there is some consensus on, and it has, you know, come up in the past, but they haven't passed it.
All right. Lucy, you've been covering this story all weekend and into today. I want to mention the thousands of people that attended last night's interfaith vigil. Just give me your reaction, first of all.
Yeah, I mean, this auditorium holds thousands of people. There were people standing in the lobby, and there were also people standing outside in the cold rain listening to what was happening on speakers. It was a huge outpouring from the community, and there were clergy of all different faiths. It was very moving. I think it was a really important thing for people in the community to be able to come together. After the national anthem, for example, people were hugging each other and crying and just kind of holding on to one another.
Okay. One of the speakers at last night's vigil was Rabbi Cheryl Klein. Let's hear from her.
We will grieve at Dor Chadash for a long time. And we will pray for those who are clinging to life. And with your support, love, and friendship, we will continue to do the work of our people, making our community better, brighter, and filled with acts of loving kindness and mitzvot. The death of Dr. Jerry Rabinowitz leaves a tremendous void in our shul. Jerry defined what it is to be a mensch. He was shot and died in the building on his way to be of help to others. This was his way with all that he did in his life. He was a leader, a healer, and a voice of reason. Please pray for his wife, Mary. Dan Legger is no stranger in the Pittsburgh community, always there to help and support the sick and dying. Dan was shot, is clinging to life, and needs our prayers. He is known by his Hebrew name, Daniel Ben Sara. We await the day when we can welcome this wonderfully caring and compassionate man back into our minyan. We at Dor Chadash are grateful for the outpouring of love and the outreach across all faith communities. Thank you to all. Now is the time to be lifters, not leaners. To be givers and not takers. In our shul, we have two beautiful tapestries that encourage us, la'asok b'tzorkei hatzibur, to go out and do the work of the community. They are constant reminders of our purpose, our ner tamid, our eternal light has been dimmed. But with strength from God, we will dig deep inside to find the godliness within, to continue our mission of touching lives both in and outside of our worship space. Am Yisrael Chai.
Let me tell you something about Pittsburghers. We're tough. We are proud of our blue-collar roots, and we're not the type of people that react to threats or actions in a way that ever takes back from us. We will drive anti-Semitism and the hate of any people back to the basement on their computer and away from the open discussions and dialogues around this city, around this state, and around this country.
That was Mayor Bill Peduto and Rabbi Cheryl Klein at last night's vigil. Katie Meyer, Lucy Perkins, you both covered that. You could hear the emotion in both of their voices.
Yeah, I mean, you really could. A really striking part of last night's event was when the three rabbis from Tree of Life described what happened that morning, because we hadn't heard from anyone who was in the room. Rabbi Cheryl Klein, who we just heard from, said that she would have been in the building had she not been, you know, celebrating Shabbat with her family out of town. Rabbi Jeffrey Myers described how he had 12 congregants in the room with him that morning at about 9:45 when services started. He was able to pull four of his congregants who were in the front of the room out to safety, but he couldn't reach the other eight in the back, seven of which were shot by the suspected gunman, and one of whom is, you know, injured and in critical condition.
And finally, Katie, a few thoughts.
Sure. I mean, it's kind of hard. I mean, I'm not from Pittsburgh. I don't live here. This is the first time I've ever been to this city. And I was telling Lucy, I wish it was under better circumstances. But the people I was talking to there, I was out in the audience, there are people who have lived here for years and years and years who are just sort of fixtures of this community. And the people who were killed in this were fixtures of the community. We've heard it so many times. And people, you know, they're not just, they're sad, you know, they're devastated. They're also angry. I think there was a lot of just, you know, why? How could somebody do this? What led somebody to feel that this was what they needed to do? And so this thought that there is a national climate of anti-Semitism, of hatred that needs to be addressed, needs to be talked about.
11 people attending different services at the Tree of Life Synagogue were murdered as they worshiped Saturday morning in Squirrel Hill. Robert Bowers is the alleged gunman in the shooting Saturday that took those 11 lives and injured six others at Tree of Life. He faces an arraignment at 1:30 p.m. today. Katie, Lucy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And for today, that is The Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. Today's program was engineered and produced by Kylie Kaczynski, production assistance from Mick Stinelli. The producer of The Confluence is Megan Harris. I'm Kevin Gavin. Till next time, hope you have a peaceful day.